Somebody put commas in their name of their project. Did you do it too?
Yeah.
You were the other one? Okay, she was the first one. You were the second one. And it gives you this bizarre message that only sheer luck. Suddenly, why do you have commas in the name? Was yours commas or some other character?
Characters.
It was some character, okay. But anyway, the only, I think, underscores are allowed. And I think I'd stop there. When you name the project and it was in both of you, I think it was the name of the project itself, rather than anything inside. I think it was the name of the project itself. But it gives you this absolutely ridiculous message that, you know, any translation of it is not too good. I made the wrong decision about coming in today. I should have stayed home and stayed in bed. So, therefore, don't count on me being totally coherent today. I just took a second dose of pill medicine, so we'll see. The cough has improved.
Huh?
And too many germs around. Okay. So, we are going into the... I can't even remember where I am. Okay, we're in Visual Basic. Software, that's what I go to. Visual Studio, that's what I go to. So I want to open looking at two-dimensional, and there's a second two-dimensional, airfare implicit, that I don't think we looked at. Anybody remember looking at that? All right. Okay, so this is the implicit definition, what they call implicit, where I can put it all out in an array like that, whereas in the previous one, I pretty much laid out which subscript and which, and laid things out a lot more clearly. Actually, let's bring that up too. Thank you. Pardon me?
We went through that one.
Yeah. I just want to compare how they laid it out. So if you see the two layouts, I just think it's clearer to see where, how the numbers break down and all of that. And now it would be nice if I had the print screen so I can take a shot of it. Okay, so notice layout of it. 0, 0 is in the top left corner. Then it goes 0, 1. Then it goes 0, 2. Then the next row down has the ones that start with 1. The next row right down has the numbers that start with 2. Okay, and the next row down has the numbers that start with 3. From city is the first number. So this is where you're flying from. And this is where you're flying to. Okay. I like this layout in the sense that it's very clear what's what. But if you know what you're doing, that's a lot easier to write. But the problem I've run into is when I wanted to modify things or add things or something, the one that I think clearly lays it out, I find easier to work with. But that's up to you. But those are two ways you can lay it out, and they work equally well. Commas are separated, the slash is simply because it's down on the next line. You wouldn't have to put it down on the next line, you could make it all go across, but I put it down on the next line for clarity.
Then you have to use the underscore.
The underscore when you go to the next line, I believe. I don't think they let you get away without doing it. We can take it out after we've looked at it and see what reaction it has when we take it out. Notice the whole thing is involved in rolled in curly braces, and then basically each row is in another set of curly braces, and there's a comma separator between them in all cases. Okay. Whereas this lays them out in a much more traditional kind of way. Everything else is the same, I think, on these two. So what up? And there it is. I could have actually, now I still couldn't have scrolled down and seen it all. But I left the original in there. So that you could see how it's set up. Okay. And that was all checking for the cities valid, and I don't think I did anything else. So that was just the cities being valid check. Questions. Okay.
That's considered three-dimensional?
No, only two. You can go to three-dimensional. I don't know how many dimensions you can go to, but there's a certain level of dimensions that I have never wanted to try. The old telephone service, and some of you probably don't even remember, when you could sign up for this or this or this, and then underneath it there was this plan, or this plan, and underneath it was another plan. It was perfect illustration of three-dimensional arrays. However, the telephone company, in one sense, simplified it, in some sense, is complicated. Okay, we were going to take these out and see what happened. Nope, it wasn't true. It's not a requirement. It used to be, but they've gotten liberal about that, which is why I said we could try
it. I like it. It looks cleaner. I mean, it helps me.
Yes, I do too. But either way it works, because obviously it worked when I had them in there, and now it's worked when I've taken it out. Mm-hmm. And then all of these valids are getting you different things. So if I put in a 5 down here, it comes back and says the from city is valid, the to city is not valid. Okay, so from city is valid, to city is not valid came from this one. Okay. Now if I put a 5 in both of them, I am going to get the both from city and to city are invalid. So I'm catching all of the possible problems. From city is not valid, to city is valid. So I'm letting them know which one is wrong and which one is right so that they can fix it. Any questions about the if? I think I will put the underscore back in, although actually it doesn't matter, since I always make a new copy. Solution. The other one that I want to look at seems to be this one totally affair. So total airfare is the next one I want to look at. And so I have an array, a two-dimensional array set up. Same one. So if I put 2 and 2 and say get price, it says from Austin to London is. And then I said get a worthless total, because the total of what I charge if a person flies on every one of the flights is a worthless total. But the point is, I wanted to point out 2 ways that you can get the total. And there's one way. And if I click on this button again, or the another button, it gives me the same number. So I'm getting the same number whichever one I click on. And if you look at the code, okay, the first one, which is the get worthless total, did a 4 each. And so it figured it out. It stepped through every entry in the price array and it called it each fare, the current one each fare, and added each fare to total fare. And it stepped through the entire thing. Even though it was a two-dimensional table, it stepped through the entire thing. If I want to code it myself, then I said, okay, for array column running 0 to 2, and array row running 0 to 3, take the price away that array row and array column is pointing to, and add it to word total. And I could have obviously said word total equals word total plus that. The plus equals is another shortcut, like the plus plus is. Okay. But the point is that if I'm doing it with for eaches, I have to take into account that this is a two-dimensional array. But if I let the for each handle it, it does it with no problem. It just steps through and takes every single one of them. And the array is a standard two-dimensional array that I used in the other examples. So in this case, for each really saves you some work. So, I kind of liked it. Okay, the next one I want to look at is the redim one. Cast redim. And I think that means we've hit all of them. Okay, this accomplishes absolutely nothing, except tries to show how redim and redim preserve work. So I start out, and even though amount is telling me to enter something, that's not the first thing I do. And I always make that mistake when I pick this up, having not looked at it for a while. It doesn't do any harm, but it's not what I want. So I do the start gather. And the start gather says, enter the number of original entries. So I'm going to write an array. And I'm going to tell it, okay, I want to have 4 original entries. Okay? So it says okay. And then I put in a number here, 12, and gather the amount. And clear. And 5, gather the amount. Clear. And 7, gather the amount, clear. And 2, gather the amount, clear. Okay, so now I have put in an array, and the array has 4 entries in it, 12, 5, 7, 2. So it's an array of 4 entries, okay? And there's the array defined up above, where I said dim acume array. So right now, I've just put in work how many. So looking at what I just did as far as code is concerned. Okay. So I started out and I put up an input box and it said how many and I put in 4. And then it said, okay, now redim acume array, which doesn't have a number, to be up to 3. Work how many is 4, minus 1 is 3, so it's 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay? So I redefine the array and have that. Okay, then I put them out and put things into the array. Okay, so then I've got the gather amount. And that's where I'm going to actually put the data in. Okay, so that's where the data goes in as I'm entering it. So the start gather is setting up the array, saying how many do you want? It's saying that I've got redim the array to hold those things. And then it writes out entries concatenated with how many I wanted. And then it turns buttons and sets the focus and does all those get ready. That's why it's called start array. And then gather amount takes the input that I put in to text amount and puts it into the array. Okay, and adds it, and then adds one to a count. So then I hit continue, and continue goes down. Down here is continue. And I hit continue, and it says, how many do you want? And let's do 3 this time. And so it says, okay. And it now says you're going to want 7 total entries. Okay. And the second group of entries, I put the number in. So we'll put in 15, continue the gather. Clear, 7, continue the gather, clear, 6, continue the gather, clear, and it now has got the total of 7, and I say show the contents, and it shows the first 4 that I put in and the last 3 that I put in. Okay, so continue gather was the same as the gather where I forget to put it in the array. But notice in the continue itself, after I said how many do I want, it says, okay, redim preserve. That means redimension the array, but preserve what was already in there. Okay, if I just do a redim, it would redim it, but it would start over. If I do a redim preserve, it preserves what's in there. Okay. So how many was the first thing? So I said 4 minus 1. The second thing I said I want 3 more, so it was plus 3. So it now runs 0 to 6 for the 7 entries. So the key thing there is the difference between redim and redim preserve. And this is really good with user entry because you may be setting up an array and you don't know how many things the person is going to be entering. Okay? So they get to answer the question about how many things they're going to enter. And then you can redim and preserve what was in there already. Okay. So redim redimensions the array, and redim preserve redimensions it also, but it preserves any content, and redim does not. So the first one I just did, a redim. is the redim. And the second one, I did a redim preserve. Can I get them both? Yes, I can. Okay. So redim dimensioned it for first use, redim preserved, added more. Questions? Okay. You haven't had any hard questions, and so I am semi-functional. Okay, now we're going to go to do the three that they came from things in the book that I looked at. So I'm going to look at the ones under Chapter 8, and we'll just look at those three under Chapter 8. Okay, then we will come back, as I said we would, and look at procedures and functions, multiple forms, modules, and menus. And then we will go and look at databases, how to set up and use with a database, which is a pain in the neck. And then we will look at how you can do web development in VB and set up a whole website using VB tools as opposed to your standard HTML kind of things. So, bring up those four if you haven't already. Those three. I can't even count. Intro array was the first one, I believe. Okay, in this one I did a module and I set up two arrays. One of them I called array languages, and the length I set up for it was the literal that I had defined up here, 6. So we would set up as 6. On the second one, I used the implicit, which means that I just listed them out. Okay. And I listed out a bunch of languages. And there's 7 in that group, right? Yes. And then this is just more experimenting. Okay, so the first one says enter the number of languages, so I'll put 3. And it comes back and says a pop-up, enter the language you know, VB. And the language you know, PHP. I thought I said 3. Well, let's see what it gives me. Just 2. Interesting. I think it was a mouse issue more than anything. So let's try that again. Because it worked last night. Yeah, I did try this one last night. Okay, 3. Fill language array. VB. PHP. PERL. So yes, it was a problem with the mouse. Okay, so now I said C languages, and that showed me what was in the array. So here's the box where I'm saying into the languages you know, and I'm putting it into the array. And then I said some languages taught at BCC, and that comes back with 7 and shows some of the languages taught at BCC. Okay. And there is the language box length, etc. And then I got into the for each again. Is the language taught at BCC? This requires me to enter in, okay, I'm going to ask, is COBOL taught? And it comes back and says COBOL, and then says what? Nothing. So it doesn't give an answer. But if I put in one that is taught, Perl, then it comes back and says yes. And you can see up here that I did the for each and said if I find a match, put up yes. And I never did a check afterward to put in anything other than yes. I just have the yes there. And then search languages taught at BCC. So again, if I put in COBOL, it goes through because I put it in and it's checking each thing in the array and it comes back with a no because that's the code down there below and it does the check for each thing. And so it came back with the no because it was not found. Interestingly enough, if anybody's interested, let me know. I've got a load of COBOL books. That was my first language. And I have a certain fondness for it. But anyway, interestingly enough, there is a demand that is starting for COBOL again because a lot of things like banks and insurance companies, their backbone is COBOL. They may have interfaces that are other thing. And COBOL programmers are all pretty much retired. So if you want a couple of books on COBOL, let me know and I can empty out my office. But it wouldn't be, in your spare time, it wouldn't be a bad language to end up learning. Because sooner or later, they're either gonna have to rewrite a lot of COBOL, in which case you have to know what it was doing. But it's the kind of thing, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And it's places like banks that have a backbone of some of them that have a backbone of COBOL. And people are very touchy about their bank program not working well. So anyway, this is the check. So I put in COBOL and you saw it go through and put up the check one at a time because it put out a message box that said work count. And went through and checked each one. And it never found it. So it never changed the found indicator. And so it put out the no. If I had put in one that it could find, so I'll put in PHP, and it goes 7. And then it finds it, and it's got a yes. And notice PHP was right up at the beginning. If I put in Java, Java was further in. And so you're gonna see it go, whoops. It's gonna go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We found it at 5. Okay, so when it finds it, it flashes up the yes. So that's just another use of the search one, that you really need to make sure you're comfortable with doing a search. Okay. The next one is calculate array. More arrays, calculate array, that's what it is. And this one is just going through and doing calculations, such as finding the high number, finding the low number, and all of those kinds of things. So to find the average, it's accumulating each thing, and then it takes the work total and divides it by the number in the array length. And then 2 is a kind of numeric formatting. To find the highest number, it just keeps checking everything in the array to see if it's bigger than the highest. And when it is, then it takes and puts that number in the word high. And it ends up coming up with the highest number in the array, the lowest number in the array, and some things like that. These are basically things that I didn't think I'd covered in the other set, so I went through them. But I don't think there's anything in there that's not going to be fairly intuitive to you. Look at it for a minute and see if you have any questions. Show the array, and that shows all the things in the array. I got them twice. Okay, I don't know whether that's my favorite mouse over here. Yes, I only got it once this time. This mouse sometimes voluntarily offers to click for me again. Only it doesn't wait for my answer. So show total is simply giving you the sum. Show average, highest, lowest. And goes through and does those calculations. And then the last one is more arrays. And this is another version of showing you the sort and another version of showing you the search. So again, I don't think there's a lot in here. Add courses a little bit. So I started out and I said, show the array. So that's the array that I have. And I actually have two arrays, but the bottom one is for sorting purposes. So So I have parallel arrays. The 120 goes with programming logic, 121 with operating systems. So I've got parallel arrays going on here. And then I've got a third array that I use just for the sort. So show array went through, and this would have been a fine time to use the for each, but instead I used the for and went through and showed it. Okay, then the search is enter a course number. So 122, and it goes through and finds the match. And if I enter one that's not there, 150. Then it says did not find a match. Okay. So it went through, and again, this time I used a while, and I said do it while the sub is less than 5 and the match indicator equals no. Okay, so as soon as the sub gets me out of range, I quit. As soon as I find a match, I quit. Both of them have to be true for me to stay in the range. So what would the until be on this?
Until.
If I did this with an until, how would I change this if I did it with an until? Yeah. Greater than or equal to. And then what comes next? Can't go get the whole array, okay. What comes next? What's the entire until? While is what keeps me in. A while is what I test what keeps me in. So work sub is less than 5 and the match indicator is no, I stay in. If the match indicator gets to yes, I get out. If the range gets too big, I get out. Until is what gets me out. So if work sub is greater than or equal to 5, I want out, right? Because the array only goes up 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. You can see it over here, it only goes 0 to 4. So if it goes 5, I want out, okay? So I want to do until the subscript gets me out. And then what do I have?
So what's the match indicator says yes.
Wait, what I was say? Say again?
I'm just trying to work up the logic.
Oh, okay. You're working it out aloud.
Yes, meaning that it found something, so it's time to get out of the loop.
That's right. And it's an or there. Okay. Okay, so the first one, we have whys and ends for our decision table. But essentially, if work sub is less than 5, And I haven't found a match I want to stay in. It's not or, it's an and. And I haven't found a match. If I change it to what gets me out, I want to say, I want to get out. It's a sub, is out of range. Or I have found a match. Either one of those should get me out. Okay, so let's change it and see if it works. Come on. Okay, I did not find a match. So if I want to change this, I can comment this out and just put another do in here. Do until work sub is greater than or equal to 5 or work match indicator equals yes, right? So if I go searching for 156, it finds Visual Basic. So that worked. And if I do a search for 150, it did not find a match. So that worked equally well. Okay. So with the where, while, it's do while these things are true. And with the until, it is do until one of these gets you out. You get out either because the subscript is out of range or because you found a match. Whereas the while is saying do while these things are both true. When they're not no longer both true, then I get out. Oh, good. But we're winding down. One of my batteries is gone, but the other's fine. Questions on this? Does it make sense? Okay, there we go. My collection of personal batteries up here is hitting the 20s or 30s. And then I said add a course. Okay, so this is the code down here for add a course. So I will add 150. So I'm adding 150. Okay, and Oracle. And it has now added 150 Oracle to the list. Okay, so when I clicked on add a list, it's now giving me this. And notice how it did it. It did a redo and preserve of what was already there. And then said, okay, now enter the course. Okay, added to the array, and then I can just display the array. But I added them to the array. And I had a num array and a word array. The num array was for the course number, and the word array was for the words. And then the last thing is the sort. And when I sort those, they're now alphabetically in order. Originally, they were first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Now they're in alphabetical order because I did a sort. Let me find the sort. Nope, I got to scroll out to do the sort. But notice they were in order by first, second, third, and now that I'm doing the sort, they are in order by the letters. Eighth is first, fifth, first, fourth, second, seventh, sixth, third is last, because it's a T. Okay? So I've sorted them in order. Okay. So that gets through the stuff I wanted to cover in arrays, and I'm feeling lousy, and we're going to call it quits. And we will start the next section after vacation, because it...
That's right.
That's right. No, it's not vacation. It's catch-up week. Yes. Yes. When I was at Brown, they used to have finals after the first semester, after January break. It was a wonderful thing. January break saved me, and then in the spring they gave us a 2-week break, and that saved me. Known as catch-up week.